Blog Talk Radio.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.
We are Kayfabe, the people's band. We are the only sports entertainment cover band. We are going to play all of your favorite wrestling theme songs from the golden ages of the 1980s all the way up to today. From as many wrestling promotions that you love near and dear, from the NWA days, the WCW, to the WWF, or of course we know today is WWE, Ring of Honor, or New Japan, they got some theme songs out there. We will be playing them. And there will be some songs that we're going to cover that may not necessarily be wrestling theme songs, but they may have been songs that wrestlers have used in the past. Like, for example, the late, great Junkyard Dog, Hall of Famer. Back in the day, in the early 80s, he used to come out to a very popular song by the rock group Queen, Another One Bites the Dust. That's just one example. And we are going to be playing everywhere we possibly can. Birthday parties, corporate events, wrestling shows, Comic Cons, anime conventions. We may even do a few anime songs, so, you know, we're open to a variety of things, but our bread and butter is going to be wrestling. And we...
All right. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you're listening. This is Wrestle Talk and Indeed with Martez, along with Dominic and Kayvon. And we're coming to you live from Open Talk Radio 313, The Flash. You know, in the world of radio, pretty much every radio host says that they have a big show for today. Pretty much, if you listen to radio, every host will say, we got a big show for you today. And that's one of the biggest cliches. The biggest cliche sayings in radio, we have a big show for you today. But honestly, tonight here on Wrestle Talk in the D, we have a big show for you today. And I'm not just blowing smoke up your behind. We have a huge show for you today. We have the second round of the Wrestle Talk in the D WWE four-branded mock draft. Last week it was the three-branded mock draft, but we made a decision to add NXT UK into this draft. And we have a special guest, general manager for NXT UK, who will be drafting for NXT UK tonight. He's already made his picks off air for the first round. He's going to be making his picks on air for the second round. That's none other than a person, Nick Swink, who's one of the hosts of the Gorilla Position, that wrestling podcast. And he's been in radio for a long time. He's been in podcasting radio for a long time. So I'm happy to have him join us tonight. Definitely want to always thank God for giving us another opportunity to talk wrestling, to run our mouths about wrestling, and I'm ready to get into it. But first, before we bring the guys on, you know, that's something I want to address. I want to take 2 minutes to address this. And WWE came out, I believe it was over the weekend, and they announced that Cardi B was going to be the host of SummerSlam. Cardi B is going to be the host of SummerSlam. Now, I never have an issue with a lot of things WWE do or does. Excuse me. I know some of you do, but most of the time I don't have an issue with what WWE does. But I do have an issue with this one. I think Cardi B is the absolute worst possible host to host any WWE programming, let alone SummerSlam. And many of you, you may disagree with me, and it's okay. I understand. It's just my opinion. I don't think she's a respectful woman. You know, I don't think she's a role model. I don't think she's someone that you want your kids looking up to. And that's just me. And I really don't want to see her hosting WrestleMania. She does nothing for me. She doesn't move the needle. You know, she doesn't excite me. Heck, she doesn't even get me aroused or excited. You know, so, and maybe I'm giving out too much information, but I am not thrilled to have Cardi B host SummerSlam. And that's my little two cents. That's my little frustrations that I wanted to release in my opening monologue. This is Wrestle Talking to D, and I'm not the only person a part of this show. I'm going to bring in Dominic. What's up, Dominic? Welcome back to the show. How you feeling this week?
Ding dong. Hello. What's going on?
Nothing much, man. Big week in wrestling. Big weekend in wrestling, especially with AEW.
You were talking about the fellow Mexicano, Cardi B. I gotta show love to Cardi, you know, for somebody that's not your not. Don't say that you anybody out there listening. Yeah, you know, I'm not the biggest supporter, I totally agree and support and follow and diehard fan of Cardi, but I just support her of being the ethnic I am part of it, and the decision for the host is kind of. I think WWE is just trying to get a name out there, a big popular wrestler name, and of course a big female name that's hot and relevant. You know? So remember one time they had Kim Kardashian host the WrestleMania. So. You know.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
You know. You had Kathy Lee and Dakota go off. yeah. So I think it's just for ratings.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, yeah, of course it's for ratings, but there's some internal things why I don't like her, and I'm just leave it at that, man. And that's enough.
Yeah,
that's
and enough. as well, you know, she's kind of started a feud, you know, with some of the fellow superstars, you know, that kind of, you know, got some of the stars that they female stars that kind of pushed relevant. So why not, you know, kind of follow up, and you know, I guess the money is right, and so you know, and she says she is a fan, but I don't feel like she's a real true diehard fan, which I totally agree. You know, because she's one of those that, oh yeah, I loved it back in the day. You know, when it was China, you know, saying irrelevant people, which I totally understand. So. Yeah.
So sounds like your team, Cardi. You know, you leaning towards you're in favor of her being a part of the show.
No, not really.
Oh, okay. My bad. I misunderstood.
That's why I said not necessarily. I just, you know, I do support her, but I mean, as far as outside terms that she says she do, but as far as two fans. You don't stand up for what she do and the product and what she didn't know.
Right.
And well, for her to host, that's what I'm saying once again, for her to host WWE WrestleMania, I don't feel like she's a true celebrity fan. So I'm kind of agreeing with you.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see, man.
You know, on the other
Yeah. We'll see what happens, man. I might end up liking it, but I mean, we in the same boat when it comes to Cardi. But we'll see what happens. Let's bring in Mr. Energetic, Mr. Life. Kayvon Journey, the big dog. What up, Kayvon?
What's up? What's up? What's up?
How you feeling this week, man?
Well, I'm feeling good until you just said Cardi B is hosting SummerSlam. like I'm sorry. That just went over my head. Like, they could have picked anybody else. Just anybody else but Cardi. I mean, I guess, you know, it's something, you know, fans can look at, but still, like, why Cardi?
Right.
See?
But you know, I get what Dominic said, and Dominic, I don't want to over talk you, but I get what you were saying, because she did have some kind of feud on Twitter. I think it was with Lacey Evans, and she said some things then that I didn't like, some racial things then. She said some racial things to Lacey Evans that I didn't really like. Never had a chance to talk about it on this show, but I didn't like that then. But yeah, I get what Dominic was saying. She has a little feud going on with some of the girls. So it kind of makes sense for her to be selected, but I still don't like it. But go ahead, Dominic or Kayvon.
Yeah, and that's just a real quick Kayvon time. But like I said, besides the ethnic thing, I'm going to take that out. But, yeah, I'm with you guys. I really just, I mean, I said it a moment ago. I don't think she is a really true fan. You know, that's what I'm saying. Hint, you know, she's as those as a less true wrestling fans who keep up to date of the product, superstars, but you know, she pays homage to, you know, God bless the dead, China, but you know, irrelevant people. That's not wrestling. So, and then with throwing shades at Lacey Evans. So that's what I'm saying. I was just saying it from a WWE standpoint of view, and that she is. I think she do follow female wrestlers, but yeah, Kayvon, I'm totally with you. I think they could have did better.
Yeah, but we'll see what happens. And next we're bringing up next we're welcoming into Russell Talking to D, if I can get my words corrected. I said it earlier. He's one of the hosts of the Gorilla Position. He's one of the he's the host of That Wrestling Podcast. I believe he had a few other radio shows in his career. It's cool to be able to have him on this show. I'm happy he said yes to come on. We're bringing on, they call him the Professor, Nick Swink. What's up, Nick?
Hey, what's going on? Real quick, I wanted to say that That Wrestling Podcast is actually another podcast. Mine was That Wrestling Show. Just want to clarify.
Oh, my bad, Nick. See, look, I'm fumbling already, man. You know?
Big Dog, what's going on?
Not much.
Good to hear. What are we talking about here, Cardi B?
Yeah, we starting the show off talking about her for a little bit. If you got anything that you want to elaborate on this topic, go for it, Dick.
I don't know. I just heard the same thing that you did. The rumor was that Cardi B is going to be hosting a show. Is that confirmed?
I believe it's. I think they were talking about it on Raw last night, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it's confirmed, but you can always double check me. But I'm pretty sure they ran a package last night on Raw announcing that she was going to host SummerSlam.
Yeah, I'm kind of indifferent to the whole thing. You know, the host thing is nothing new for them. It's something they've been doing at WrestleMania for the last several years. Gronk hosted it last year. This year it was Hogan and Titus O'Neil. 2 years before that, the New Day did it. And looks like SummerSlam is now going to be another one of these shows that they're going to have a host for. Cardi B is a popular act, so they might try to get some new viewers of this, but I don't know how many people that listen to Cardi B actually watch wrestling. But you'd be surprised, I guess. I mean, Bad Bunny did draw a lot of people in, but I don't know if he necessarily, kept, like, the viewers kept on with the product. I don't know if they just saw what Bad Bunny was doing and then tuned out or what. But, yeah, this is just another attempt to kind of stay relevant with what's popular in pop culture with WWE. So, yeah, I'm kind of indifferent towards the whole thing.
I totally understand. Everything you said is make a ton of sense based on what they're doing. But let's get into why we're here tonight. We're here to carry on with the second round of the Wrestle Talking to D WWE 4 branded mock draft. Kayvon, you have the first pick. You're drafting for SmackDown. I have the second pick. I'm drafting from Raw. Dominic, you have the third pick. You're drafting for NXT. And Swink, you have the fourth pick, and you're drafting for NXT UK.
That's right, the best brand in WWE that nobody watches.
Nick?
So I guess I should give out my picks from last week since I wasn't on the show.
Yeah, do it. Go for it. Yeah.
All right, so with my first pick in the draft, I chose for NXT, of course, none other than Walter, because why wouldn't I? My second pick, also from NXT UK, Miko Satomura, because, you know, if you can get a legendary Joshi wrestler on your roster, you're going to take it. I mean, Miko Satomura is probably one of the best wrestlers on the WWE roster, and she's regulated to working in NXT UK. And then, of course, my next pick, I chose the greatest tag team in the history of WWE. I'm talking about Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode, the Dirty Dogs.
Oh, whoa.
D-A-W-G, Dogs.
Wow. I was definitely surprised to hear you pick that. Wow. Wow.
And then next, wow, I chose Toni Storm.
Why?
You know, because she's got some great assets.
Really? What type of assets does she have, Mr. Swink? If you don't, can you break that down tonight? The people want to know. Can you break down? Or you can save it for gorilla position next week. Whatever you want to do.
With my last pick, I went with a guy who I'm going to develop. He's going to be a future star of the brand. I'm going with Mansoor, the man who was undefeated on 205 Live.
Ooh.
This is all true.
Undefeated on 205 Live. Wow. Wow.
Oh, wait. My last pick was actually, let me get this. Let me do this right. The grizzled young veteran. Of course, I'm talking about James Drake and Zach Gibson, soon to be NXT UK tag team champions.
Oh, man. It seems like they've been knocking at the door for a while now, so hopefully they do win the tag team championship. But, Nick, I want to tell you something, man, and I want to tell all of you guys this. Monday Night Raw is getting ready to be the premier show again, and NXT UK, you got a nice, cute show, but you won't compare it to my Monday Night Raw. NXT, SmackDown, same for you. I'm ready to get into this. Are y'all ready?
Hey, I'm ready.
Whatever.
And Kayvon, we're going to get to your news and notes a little bit later, okay?
Hey, that's fine.
All right. And, yes, we're using the NFL's draft notification sound. So what? Let's get it. Kayvon?
Ladies and gentlemen, I've been thinking about this all week. The person that I will be drafted on this second round, he is known to be the most electrifying man in all of sports entertainment. That's right.
Wait a minute.
He had a feud with John Cena, and, well, let's just say he pretty much won that. The person that I will be drafting will be the great one, The Rock.
Oh man, Kayvon, that's a great pick. But is he signed with WWE right now?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I would say yes. You know, it's kind of back and forth. But you know, hey, I don't know.
All right, because last week Dominic he selected Daniel Bryan, right? But we didn't let him go forward with that pick because Daniel is not signed with WWE. Are we changing the rules on the fly? You want to do that? You guys want to change the rules on the fly?
If I had to change my pick, he had to change his pick.
Yeah. That's only right, Kayvon. Unfortunately, you got to change your pick, bro.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, that's fine. Okay. Well, Rock, sorry. In that case, I need to build up my women's division anyway, so give me the EST of the WWE, Bianca Belair.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. That's a solid pick right there. That's a solid pick. All right. All right, with the seventh pick for Monday Night Raw, I'm drafting an authority figure. You know, I think Monday Night Raw, we need somebody that people won't walk all over. I need somebody that people won't push around. So I'm drafting, my next pick will be an authority figure. He's still signed with WWE. He puts butts in the seats. People will watch Monday Night Raw because of him. He's been a general manager before. My next pick is the Rattlesnake Stone Cold Steve Austin to be my general manager. To be my general manager when I'm not around for Monday Night Raw. So Stone Cold Steve Austin is my next pick.
Wait a minute. He's still fine?
Because of the pop. If I'm wrong, he signed with them because he has the podcast on the network, right?
With the seventh pick in the WWE draft, round 2, NXT takes the future. You've seen him in the beginning of the show. This guy, I got a 5-year plan for him. And when he leaves to get called up to the main roster, this dude is going to be the first quadruple champ. I want this kid to be go after the cruiserweight champ. I'm talking about none other than Cool Man Kyle O'Reilly. Team Canada, let's go.
Wow. That's an interesting pick. All right, Nick, you're coming up next.
All right, I had a while to think about this. And so with the seventh pick, with their seventh pick, NXT, or my seventh pick, NXT UK, selects the Joshi Judas Io Shirai.
Ooh. I didn't see that one coming.
Ooh.
Dang. That's a heck of a pick. Dang. All right.
Okay. Well, see, I would say Josiah Williams, but he just got released. So, can't do that. So, in other words, I'm going to go to SmackDown. Give me Pat McAfee.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
Wow. That's a good pick. That's a good pick. All right, with the eighth pick, drafting for Monday Night Raw, I'm going to be selecting Evolution, Eva Marie. My eighth pick is Eva Marie. I'm picking Eva Marie because, once again, I need people that are going to have people watching Monday Night Raw. You may hate her, you may like her, but you're still going to watch because you're going to want to find out what Eva is doing. So my eighth pick is Eva Marie for that reason.
For my eighth pick, I'm doing this for my cruiserweight division. Spoiler alert, I am filling somebody raw because I think this man is improperly used. He's a champion. I think he needs to be on the cruiserweight. He needs to be the cruiserweight champion. I'm talking about none other than Prince Puma, a.k.a. Ricochet. My God.
Ooh. Okay, I guess that's me. All right, so with the eighth pick, NXT UK selects. Well, I had to think about it. You said I could pick individuals, tag teams, or groups, right?
Yep.
So give me all of them. Give me Johnny Gargano. Give me Candice LeRae. Give me Indy Hartwell. Give me Austin Theory. I want the way.
I just want to end it. All right.
Wow.
Well. Well, thank y'all. I'm going to go with the man. Well, I mean, hey, he read a book called The Dragon, The Father. We all seen what he did to KO. Oh, no, not KO. Big E. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, give me the Wicked Man, Aleister Black.
All right, I thought long and hard about this pick. With the ninth pick for the Monday Night Raw flagship show, I'm going to be drafting the Eater of Worlds, Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt is my ninth pick to Monday Night Raw.
Excuse me. With my ninth pick, the Black and Gold brand, the original Black and Gold brand, will be going with. I call him Baby Psycho Sid. As you see, Nick Stowe, his love, Indy Hartwell. So I'm going with none other than Dexter Moore.
All right, so who did he just pick?
Dexter Lumis.
Ah, okay. All right, well, this next pick. Well, this next pick, we're going to the moon. Give me Cameron Grimes, because we're all about them stocks and that Dogecoin.
All right.
Well. In that case, he's known as the Demon King. That's right, the first ever Universal Champion. Give me Finn Balor.
There you go, K-Von.
With the 10th pick, my selection for Monday Night Raw is MVP. The reason I'm picking MVP because he was instrumental in the creation of the best faction WWE has seen in quite some time in the Hurt Business. and I want to try to get that group back together. So now that I'm in charge, I'm going to bring this group back together. And they will be the face of Monday Night Raw, the Hurt Business. So that's my pick.
Oh, man. I think I'm going to have to go with female this pick. I think this lady is the limit. She's got a bright future. I'm breaking her up from our tag team partner because I don't really see no potential from her. And I'm going with the other games, the Philippines destination, Caitlin Carter. 3-9.
Ooh.
All right, we need some more big boys on this brand because we don't have enough. We've only got Walter. So give me the colossal Bronson Reed.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
Okay. Okay, well, I need to, like I said, I need to go back to my women's division. Bianca Belair can't be the only one. So, without further, I mean, this tag team, you know, I don't want to break them up, but for the time being, give me the one that they call Amber Moon.
Ooh.
It's about time. I'm not saying my baby needs to go back. Are you talking?
I'm having trouble over here, guys. I think we have an interruption here of sorts. I love you guys.
Ooh, yeah, the Macho Ghost, yeah. WWE 4 brand mock draft invasion, yeah, with the first pick for WCW. We pick the Ghost of the Macho Man, Randy Savage. First pick for WCW, Ghost of the Macho Man, Randy Savage. Thank you. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Oh, wow.
Hey, what a wonderful surprise. What a wonderful surprise. What's going on, Macho Ghost?
I'm only here for business. I don't have that time to talk.
Okay.
I got to prepare myself. I'm drawing for TNA next.
All right. So apparently WCW is part of this draft now. Wow.
WCW has picked the Ghost of the Macho Man, Randy Savage, first pick to appear on Nitro, Thunder, and WCW Saturday Night.
Oh, wow.
This is amazing.
Well, worldwide.
Man, who said that? Get out. Who's that? Dom Perignon? Young? Get off my back.
Wow.
All right.
This is draft day. There's no friends.
I don't know where we go after this. With the 11th pick for Monday Night Raw, I want to trade my 11th pick. I want to trade my 11th pick to Swink. I want to offer you my 11th pick for Bronson Reed. Do you accept my 11th pick and my 12th pick? Actually, I want to trade my 11th and 12th for Bronson Reed, Swink.
So you're offering me two of your draft picks for Bronson Reed.
Yep.
Hold on a minute. Hold on. Martez, that's too much. Only off room one.
You got a good point.
He's the one proposing the trade here, not you, Macho. Yeah.
That was K-Bond.
Macho speaks for me.
You know, if he wants to give me two picks for one guy, I mean.
Never mind.
No, Marquez, trade him one pick. Trade him one pick. Bronson Reed's the size of two men, but he's not worth two picks. Besides, your first pick was Caleb Braxton. You got to wake up.
Oh, man. Way to jab me, Macho. Way to jab me. All right. My next pick in the Monday Night Raw draft, I'm going to go with my girl, the longest reigning SmackDown Women's Champion, Ding Dong, hello, Bayley, Macho Ghost's daughter. Right.
Excellent choice!
You know what? That was going to be my pick. Thanks a lot.
Yes.
Ding Dong! Okay, what number were we on again? Well, anyway.
11.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Ooh, got dizzy there. NXT next speaker, next pick, excuse me. I think I'm gonna have to go over to the UK. These gentlemen, I'm bringing back this tag team. They were over at NXT. I know they went back to the UK. And I think the U.S. needs to know more about them. They're Trent. And I'm talking about none other than Trent.
Whoa.
Well, you know, I was going to go after big, strong boy Tyler Bate there. So instead, we're going to bring him back to the UK. Give me the Bruiserweight, Pete Dunne.
Gosh.
Man, oh, man. I thought long and hard for this one. SmackDown needs somebody to entertain them. So, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, we've seen him. He beat Shayna Baszler on Monday Night Raw. That's right. I'm talking about the second time. Reginald.
What a gutsy pick, Kayvon.
It takes a lot of cojones.
That man
is going to be a future in it. He's that guy's going to be a future WWE Women's Champion. So,
Kayvon, forward thinking and Pride Month.
He's going to win the. He's going to win the Women's Money in the Bank match. I'm telling you.
Well, listen, I have big plans for Reginald.
He's the new James Ellsworth. Unfortunately.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do! For the first pick for total nonstop action wrestling TNA, they pick the ghost of the Macho Man, Randy Savage. The first pick for TNA is the ghost of the Macho Man, Randy Savage. Just like WCW.
Wait a minute, y'all two shows?
That's right, I will be appearing on Impact and all pay-per-views, but not Explosion.
Hey, Macho.
Oh, Macho.
I want to say hello. Nice to meet you, Dominic P. or Dom P. I'm not sure what your full name is, but we can't talk now because this is war.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, I got love for you, Macho Ghost. I got love for everybody else, but Check this out. My final pick, my 12th pick, the Monday Night Raw draft, I'm going with, and this might be a weird pick, but I'm a weird person, so I'm going to go for it. The production staff that produces WWE Raw from 1998 to 1999. Oh, sorry.
Does Marquez understand what this means, this draft is about?
Macho Ghost, let me just say this. I've had a rough day, and I'm not clicking on all cylinders. I'm not proud of this draft right now. I don't even know why I made that pick. Guys,
Marquez, you have 12 picks. You picked an announcer. You picked a general manager and a production staff. And you were willing to trade 2 picks to Swink when you only had 2 picks left.
Well, I did that because I think Bronson. Macho Ghost is like that angel that's speaking for me on my right side of my arm. You know. All right, but let me pick again. Okay, my 12th pick will be none other than The Miz, because The Miz is Mr. Consistency. He's a 2-time WWE champion. He's a former United States Intercontinental Tag Team champion. He's arguably the face of WWE. Many people want to say it's John Cena, Stone Cold, but The Miz has had a great impact on WWE since he's been there. And The Miz is my 12th pick for the night.
Oh, okay. It's all on me, baby. The final pick, I'm bringing back the manager. This dude could be a manager. This dude could be. I mean, I'm going to have him as well as part of my new announcement. This dude, he needs to come as wherever we need to put him more, because he's money. He got the mouth for the North. He could talk his butt off. I'm talking about none other than. Mike.
What was that last pick?
Michael Bivens.
Oh, Malcolm Bivens. Okay.
I'm Bill the ball. Yeah.
I was gonna say for the guy from New Edition.
Yeah, Malcolm Bivens, ladies and gentlemen, correct. Malcolm.
Well, Swing, this gives you a great opportunity. You can still pick all of New Edition.
Malcolm Bivens, the former Stokely Hathaway.
You guys are funny.
All right, with my final pick in the draft, NXT UK selects the King of Strong Style, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Whoa.
Macho.
The first pick for Lucha Underground is the ghost of the Macho Man, Randy Savage. Lucha Underground's first pick, Randy Savage, the ghost of the Macho Man.
Wow.
On a show like Lucha Underground, there would be a ghost of a Macho Man.
Exactly.
You should just create your own federation.
That actually makes sense.
You should just create your own federation and promotion, Macho. Just the Macho Man promotion. You should just do that.
I'm trying to. Swink won't let me.
Come on, Swink.
He's trying to take over the promotion.
If I have who wants to buy me a PlayStation 4 and a Fire Pro Wrestling for the re-premiere of our brand new show, just mail it directly to Marquez and he'll drive it over. Then you guys will never have to hear from me again.
We love you, Macho. All right, well, that concludes the second round of the Wrestle Talk in the D 2001 WWE 5 branded mock draft.
2001? We go back in time?
Oh, my. 2002. Oh, my gosh. I'm having a bad day.
2021.
Thank you, Swing. Thank you, Swing. Yeah, that concludes the 2021 WWE 4-branded mock draft. I'm trying to get myself together. I'm glad these guys are here. They're taking care of me because I keep falling. But when we come back, we're going to get to Kayvon's Big 4 news, okay? Kayvon has 4 things that he wants to share with us, and then we're going to get into our 7 shoot topics tonight. This has been Wrestle Talk in the D. This is Wrestle Talk in the D with Martez on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash, blogtalkradio.com. All right, thank you. We're back. We're back, and we're still live right here on Wrestle Talk in the D on Open Talk Radio 313, The Flash, blogtalkradio.com. That's where we are. That's where you can listen to us at. We just concluded our draft. And I'm not going to lie, I'm not really thrilled with my picks. You know, I don't know what's going on with me tonight, but nonetheless, it was another fun edition of the draft, the second round, that is. But the spotlight is on Mr. Kayvon. Let's get into some Big 4 news, the Big 4 news with Kayvon Journey.
I'm so honored. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the news. Tonight, 4 big things is happening in the world of professional wrestling today. That's right. 1, Josiah Williams has been released. That's a big one. 2, we heard it here tonight. where Karrion Kross will be in a five-way. I believe that's what it's called, a five-way. Yeah, that's right. He will be defending his NXT title against four other opponents. And like we heard, Cardi B will be hosting SummerSlam. I don't know how I feel about that, but hey. And of course, what is next for Alexa Bliss and Lily? And of course, will we see Shayna Baszler? Where will she be going? Will she team up with Lily and Alexa Bliss, or will she dominate? Ladies and gentlemen, that has been the news.
Hey, thank you, Kayvon, for bringing us that important news. You know what? I really don't know where they're going to go with this. A few weeks ago, I thought they were going to build a feud against Shayna Baszler and Alexa Bliss. But now I'm starting to think Shayna Baszler is going to team up with Alexa some kind of way. So I'm still not sure what they're going to do with these two. So I guess we're going to have to wait and find out what happens in a few weeks. But thank you, Kayvon. Nick, Swink, I don't know if you wanted to add anything, or Dominic, and I don't know, Swink, if you're going to stick around for the topic segment, but you guys can chime in on anything Kayvon just said if you want to.
Well, I expect Shayna Baszler to wrestle a doll.
Oh, my gosh. Are you being mean?
So I better get a match between Shayna Baszler and the doll. That's what I got to say. You know, I got screwed out of my slime match between Braun Strowman and Shane McMahon. Give me Shayna Baszler versus the doll at SummerSlam.
Oh, my gosh. I don't have time to hear people.
The Lex Bliss gimmick is going to be like the new Al Snow and Head.
That's a good point, Dominic.
The doll's gonna be more. The doll's gonna be more popular than Alexa in the next month or so.
Hey, we'll see. Let's get into the seven shoot topics of the day. I'm not really gonna talk much. I'm just gonna throw out some topics to you guys. You're welcome to chime in. It's not a specific order. Well, I guess I should give out an order. We can start with you, Dominic, then Swink, and then Kayvon, but feel free, if you don't like what somebody says, cut them off, and then if you disagree with them, cut them off and state your case. You know, it's okay to agree and disagree on this show. You know, we encourage that. So let's get into it. Dominic, what were your thoughts on AEW's Double or Nothing? Like, if you was to give it a grade, what would you give it, and why?
I'll give it a C+. C+, okay. Because I know I don't really follow that much AEW. I mean, it was a pretty decent show. I think, yeah, the Brian Cage and I'm drawing the blank. Brian Cage and who did he fought? People, help me out.
Hangman Adam Page.
Yeah, the mini Stone Cold, Country Stone Cold. I think that was the show stealer of the night, that match. I think everybody said that was probably the best match. It was surprised to see Leo Rush, surprised to see Mark Henry. I scratched my head with the surprise of Mark Henry. I guess, you know, if you feel like that they didn't want to fulfill his last match on, and I think AEW fulfilling his last match on his will, on his terms there. It was pretty decent show. I feel like little things could have been better. But it's pretty good. I'm not going to hold you guys up.
Swink, you're welcome to chime in on this if you want.
Okay. All right, so I am someone that actually watches AEW all the time. You know this, Martez.
Oh, yeah.
So I enjoyed the show. I thought it was much better than Revolution. If I had to letter grade the show, I'd give it an A-. There were some really good matches on this show, including on the buy-in. I thought Serena Deeb versus Rio for the NWA Women's Championship was really good. And it just shows you how good that Serena Deeb is, and that she was like one of these low-key pickups for the company last year when she was doing nothing before that but working as a trainer in NXT. And, you know, it's great that she actually got signed with a company that would actually use her in the ring, and we're seeing, like, she still has a lot left to give as a performer and not just as a trainer. So I thought the match with Rio was really good. I would probably, if I had to rate it, I'd probably go 4 on that match. Also, I thought the opening match was really good between Hangman Adam Page and Brian Cage. It was a good use of Brian Cage. I think that, you know, you don't want to put Brian Cage in these really long matches. I think he works best in the shorter matches. This was only about 12 minutes, and it was just two guys doing stuff, really cool stuff, basically. yeah. So, and the crowd was red hot for this thing because Adam Page is one of the most over performers on the AEW roster, and they made the right decision by having this be the opening match of the pay-per-view, so he was the first guy that came through the curtain. So, you know, he got a big pop just for being the first person out, but also the fact that that he was already over before the pandemic happened back in February of 2020. And it shows you that he didn't lose any of his, I guess you would say, overness with the crowd since the pandemic. It shows that he's still just as popular as he was before. So that was good there. The next was the tag team title match, which I really enjoyed. I think this is my favorite match of the show, the Young Bucks against Eddie Kingston and Jon Moxley. You know, Kingston and Moxley's entrance was terrific with their theme music, Wild Thing.
Oh, yeah.
And the crowd was singing along with it, you know. And I thought this match was really good. Shows you just how good the Young Bucks are as a tag team. And the hot tag in this match was a real hot tag, you know, because the crowd just went ape when Kingston made the hot tag to Moxley. And, yeah, really good match here. There was blood in this match. Eddie Kingston busted out some All Japan Pro Wrestling moves. So this had everything I love about wrestling in it in a 20-minute package. So, yeah, this was a really good match. I would probably go 4.5 on this match. It was really good. Casino Battle Royal, you know, it's a battle royal. But it was interesting that they did not go with Christian Cage because he seemed like he was the surefire favorite to win this match. Instead, they went with Jungle Boy. But Jungle Boy, if you ever watch a lot of AEW and you watch a lot of these Battle Royals, he's always in the final two. You know, he's won a Battle Royal before, but every other Battle Royal they've done, he's always been in, like, the final two, and he's come up short. This time around, he gets the win. He gets the rub from Christian as he gives him the old handshake hug type deal thing. And now Jungle Boy is going to get a title shot against Kenny Omega in 2 weeks on Dynamite. And Jungle Boy is super over right now. You know, huge ovation for him when he came out. Huge ovation when he came out on Elevation last night and on Dark tonight. And people love the Jungle Boy. So he is probably not going to beat Omega. But, yeah, it's still going to be a pretty good match. The one thing that I would say the downside of Jungle Boy is that he is not very good at promos. If he gets better at that, I think he's going to be a pretty complete package. And he's only about 23 years old at this point. So still a long way to go for Jungle Boy, but he's definitely a future star there. You know, Cody and Anthony Ogogo was a match that a lot of people did not like. And there's a lot of hate for Cody Rhodes right now on the internet, and I don't understand why.
Yep.
And I thought that the Rhodes and Ogogo match was better than people are saying that it was. It wasn't the match that I was expecting, though. You know, I was expecting Ogogo to come out there and just murder Cody in, like, 2 minutes. they actually had a 10-minute wrestling match, and it proved to me that Anthony Ogogo can actually go, you know, in the ring. Because he showed me some stuff that I didn't know that he was capable of, because his first two matches were just like 30-second squash matches where he just punched a guy and beat him. But here he actually showed off some athleticism. He did some stuff that I didn't know that he was capable of doing, including a frog splash off the top rope. I was not expecting that from this guy. But he is definitely a big-time future star prospect for these guys. I know some people were upset with Cody winning the match. I was okay with it. I mean, this is only Ogogo's third match, so I was okay with him dropping this match to Cody. And I don't like the comparison that people make between Cody and Triple H and Jeff Jarrett and TNA, because it's inaccurate. You know, Cody Rhodes has done nothing but try to put people over since the moment this company started. He's got MJF over. He lost that feud to MJF. He's got Eddie Kingston over. He got him a job. He got Ricky Starks a job. He also lost the match where he could never challenge for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. So I don't see how he's anything like Triple H or Jeff Jarrett. So I think it's a very unfair comparison. Then you had Miro and Lance Archer, which was one of the weaker matches on the show. I didn't really care for all the Jake the Snake stuff, but I did laugh at Miro throwing the quote-unquote snake across the arena. Even though we all know there wasn't really a snake in that bag, it was still funny to think that Miro threw a snake. But, yeah, this match wasn't what I thought it was going to be. There was too much Jake the Snake stuff for my taste, but it was fine. Dr. Britt Baker winning the title from Makaru Shida, I mean, that was pretty much a foregone conclusion that was going to happen, especially when they did the whole Hikaru Shida celebrating her title reign on Dynamite, plus giving her a new belt. When you do something like that, chances are there's going to be a new champion. But also it was the right time to put the belt on Baker, because I feel like if you waited too long with her, it wouldn't be as effective, because there's been examples of that in the past where promotions have waited too long to put a belt on somebody when they should have put it on them earlier. And so I think putting the belt on Baker right now is the right move. The match itself was all right. You know, Baker's not known for being a great wrestler, but she is a great character, has great charisma, is over with the fans. So she was absolute right choice for this, the winner of this match, and she is one of the most popular wrestlers in the company right now. So it was the right move for sure. Darby and Sting against Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky. You know, Sting looked really good here, especially for a guy who's 62. You know, this was the way that I thought the match was going to be set up, where Darby took all the heat, made the hot tag to Sting. Sting didn't have to take a lot of bumps. Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky bumped for him. And, you know, I liked the finish where Sky went for the slingshot cutter. Sting reverses it into the Scorpion Death Drop for the win. So, yeah, I really like this match as well. Probably go 4 on that one, too. Kenny Omega versus Orange Cassidy and Pac. You know, I'm not a big fan of three-way or triple threat matches, but I actually enjoyed this one. And they actually almost got me a few times with some of the near falls. I almost thought Orange Cassidy might actually win the title. And I got a kick out of Don Callis handing all 4 championship belts to Omega, and Omega hitting them with all 4 of the belts.
Yeah.
I thought that was real good. So I really enjoyed that match, too. So I went I probably went 4 on that one, too. And then you had the Stadium Stampede match, which was surprising that they would do this match with fans back in the arenas now, because, you know, I understand why they did it last year, because it was the pandemic, and it was in style in wrestling at the time to do cinematic matches. I really don't think you should be doing cinematic matches anymore when you have live fans in the building, because the fans are just sitting there watching a screen.
Right.
And so I did think they were going to bring it back to the ring at some point, though, in front of the live fans, and they did end up doing that, and I appreciate that fact. And I appreciate the fact that Sammy Guevara was the guy to get the pin and the win for this match. So I did like that. There were portions of it I liked. There were other portions of it I didn't quite like. you know, but it was a success, so I think this is going to end up being something that they're going to be doing, you know, from now on. But, yeah, overall, I thought this was an enjoyable show from start to finish, much better than Revolution, I think, and it didn't have a bad ending like Revolution did with the dud of an explosion.
Wow, yeah. Wow, yeah. You broke it down well, Swink, as always. KK Vine, did you watch AEW's Double or Nothing? And what did you think about it?
I did not. Anything requires for AEW, nope, don't watch it. You know, I'm sorry. No, I like to stick to my Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. Anything AEW, nope. Mm-mm.
Wow. All right, that's going to lead me into my next question for the night, and I'm going to start with you, Swink, if you don't mind. Just speeding right ahead, you know, moving forward. Do you think AEW is in a position? You know, many people they always talk about the Monday Night Wars. They always talk about AEW versus WWE. But do you think, and do you guys think that AEW at this point is ready to go head to head with a Raw or a SmackDown? And I'll start with you, Swink.
Because due to the NBA playoff schedule on TNT, they've had to move Dynamite the last several weeks because this last Friday it was on Friday night, and this coming Friday it's also going to be on Friday night. But they did move the show to later in the evening to 10 Eastern, 9 Central, in order to avoid going head to head to a SmackDown. And I actually think that was a smart move because SmackDown has the advantage in the fact that it's on Fox, which is a national television network, compared to TNT, which is on cable. So you're always going to have more viewers on the national network, which is going to be available to more people than you are going to be on the cable or satellite network like TNT. So I think that it wasn't the worst decision to not run against SmackDown, although I would have liked, personally, I would have liked to have seen what would happen if they tried that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they decided to err on the side of caution there. As far as running against Raw, you know, considering how bad the Raw numbers have gotten and looking at the numbers and the demos between the two shows, Dynamite and Raw, there's actually more of a chance that they're going to catch up to Raw at some point than they are to SmackDown. So, you know, could they decide to run against Raw at some point? Yeah, but I don't think they're going to do it now. That said, they're going to have a Friday night show called Rampage, which is going to be starting in August. And Mark Henry is going to be the color commentator on that one. I don't know who his partner is going to be, the play-by-play guy. They haven't revealed that yet. We know Mark Henry is going to be the color commentator on that show. Don't know what time that show is going to be. I think it's going to be in the same slot that the Friday Night Dynamite is on, though. So it's going to be a late night show. It's not going to be, I don't think it's going to go head to head with SmackDown, as far as I know. So as of right now, I don't think it's the right move to try to go directly head to head with them. I mean, they were going up against NXT, which is, you know, the third brand as far as, you know, WWE goes, and it is the third least viewed show, I guess you would say, in terms of viewers or in the ratings, at least. So it wasn't like they were going up against a major show, but they were still, you know, destroying them every week almost. But, you know, it's different when you go up against Raw and SmackDown because, you know, for some reason people are still watching Raw despite the fact that it's been absolutely terrible. But, you know, people continue to watch it, I guess, out of habit or whatnot. But, yeah, long story short to say, right now, no. In the future, yes.
Wow. Thank you, Swink. Now Kayvon, do you agree or disagree with what Swink had to say? Or how do you assess this? Do you think AEW at this point can go head-to-head with WWE and win?
Well, I have to agree with Swinks. You know, AEW could probably go head-to-head with Raw. Man, they could go head-to-head with Raw. But as for SmackDown, I'm sorry to say, but your tribal chief ain't having that. So as far as I'm concerned with the numbers, you know, AEW might get up there with Raw, but it can't compete with SmackDown at all.
Ooh. Well, what about you, Dominic? What do you make of all this?
Okay, I've been like kind of gone away from the phone or mute. So we're talking about AEW competing with WWE.
Correct. Do you think? Do you think at this point they can go up against a Raw or a SmackDown and win, if you will, if you will.
Yeah, I think they can go against either or so. But I don't think off script they will win. It would take years if Raw between both Raw and SmackDown, definitely Raw. If they don't get the show together with the booking, it's mainly the booking of Raw. If they don't get it together in SmackDown, I think they just need more. Well, both shows need call up some fresh new faces. I think they will slowly, which they are doing now, slowly compete and figure out and will try to start booking or promote having a show, brand show against, you know, WWE products. I think they are, WWE still continues that stubborn phase that, they will pretty much win the war. But for right now, no, I don't think they will necessarily win if they would go into TV ratings with, you know, one of the shows. But it would take a drastic it would take a hit though. I mean, they can if like I said, Raw continues to keep doing what they're doing and Vince steady firing people, the quote unquote, single quote, budget cut and save money that he can use, talent to use, and then if the AEW continues to get these talent and get these veterans to let other big name superstars from WWE somehow slip to their hands, and definitely, they will be winning.
Wow. Awesome. Next topic. We're running out of time here for tonight, but I'm going to go fast with this. Next topic is this. Sasha Banks, I think she posted on Twitter last week that she had a vision of producing and promoting an all-women's pro wrestling show. I know, Swink, you commented on the post that I put out about that this wouldn't be the first ever women's all women's wrestling show. She wouldn't be the first to do it. But however, do you think WWE needs to have an all women's wrestling show? I'm gonna start with Kayvon, and then we're gonna go with Swink, and then Dominic.
Well, I mean, consistent on WWE. I mean, they did put on an all women's Evolution show, so I would not be surprised if Sasha Banks does this, and if WWE grant her access, it'll be something new and exciting. So, I mean, I think she should go for it.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about it, Swink?
Yeah, as I mentioned before, she's not the first person to do this. This happens a lot in Japan with the women's wrestlers over there. They start their own promotions and promote their own shows, book the talent and all that, all women shows there. And Thunder Rosa actually has her own promotion in Texas called Mission Pro, which is an all women's promotion that she promotes. So like I said, she wouldn't be the first one. But this was Sasha Banks on her own or Sasha Banks with WWE. Either way, you know, it'd be interesting if WWE allowed her to do this and allowed her to use the talent that they have. And
you know, they did have the Evolution pay-per-view, which was a few years ago now, and it actually did pretty well, but they have decided not to move forward with another one of these shows, which is kind of surprising considering all of the effort they put forth to try to make the women's division a big deal and be a large part of their programming.
Yep.
So it's interesting that they didn't do another all-female show. But, you know, it would be interesting to see, and I wouldn't be opposed to it. So.
Okay. Okay. Dominic?
Yeah, like Nick said, I'm totally 1,000% with Nick. I don't know if it's the WWE or her own promotion. So like you say, you got Thunder Rosa. You got WOW, Women Wrestling, that you might have seen that some of this talent came from, like Mercedes Martinez, Toni Storm, Zoe Stark, and maybe a few more I'm leaving off with that promotion. But of course, WWE is the Graceland, the Disneyland to go to do, you know, whatever you were previously doing, or to see if you can succeed on that note. I mean, I don't want to sound biggest or sexist that, you know, saying we don't know because I don't want to be good at it. But, I mean, we just tune in and see. I mean, it would be nice to finally get, you know, like a one night only, you know, like the Revolution or whatever. I can't pronounce stuff right now. Have a one night only show, mm-hmm. like a one try thing, and because there's so many great talents. That day you have the best female wrestler. Hands down. So, for all, everywhere from development, NXT, UK, Raw, like, yeah, I mean, it would be something new and exciting.
Okay. Wow. Well, this kind of, I had, Dominic, you just gave me a new topic or a new question. Do you guys agree or disagree that WWE has the best female wrestling talent in the world? And I'm start this off with Swink, because I know you watch everything and anything. Do you agree that WWE has the best of the best?
Well, they certainly got some of the best women's talent. You know, Sasha Banks, Bayley, you know, I guess you could put Asuka in that conversation, Io Shirai, Meiko Satomura. So, yeah, they've got some of the best women's wrestlers that you can buy if you're a company. So, and the roster is very large. So, you know, there's women on the roster that aren't even on television. That's how many women they have. You know, between the four brands that they have, they still have women that you don't see. And on a regular basis, you know, Cora Jade was just on NXT last week in a match against, I want to call her Taya Valkyrie still, but it's Frankie Monet. But she was just on the show, and that's someone you don't really see very often. You know, she's just somebody there that's just in the warehouse, if you will. So they have a lot of women on that roster. And so they certainly have the largest roster. They certainly have a lot of talented women. I would probably put them at the top, you know, and then you could go, you know, down from there. You know, I would say that Impact's women's roster is pretty solid. AEW's is actually pretty solid now these days. You know, ROH, you know, theirs was in the dumpster, but they're starting to rebuild the whole thing. And I do like the pieces that they're getting for their promotion. But, yeah, as of right now, WWE is the top when it comes to women's wrestling, if you're not talking about, you know, like
the Japanese promotions. You know, if you're just talking about North American promotions, yes, they are the best. You know, with excluding like Japan, obviously.
Awesome, awesome. We still got Dominic's shout out of the night, as well as your final thoughts. But Kayvon, how do you feel about this? Do you think the WWE has the best of the best, as far as women's wrestling?
Well, I mean, you know, I drafted her first on this draft, so but of course. The moment that you have the EST of the WWE, that already makes WWE the best because she is the best. So, of course, WWE have the best women's division in the world to me.
Nice, nice, nice. I got two more topics, and then we're going to get into everything else because we got about 8 minutes to go. I'll start with you, Dominic. For me, Dark Side of the Ring is sometimes depressing, and sometimes it's really, really good. But I really want to pick you guys' brain. How do you assess Dark Side of the Ring? Has it helped the wrestling business? Has it hurt the wrestling business? Is it a good show? Is it a depressing show? How do you evaluate Dark Side of the Ring since it's been out? I'll start with you, Dominic Swink, and then Kayvon.
I think it's the Stone Cold Truth. Whether you like it or not, whether you feel like you can, you know, talk about certain issues. Of course, a lot of these people they cover is dead and deceased, but I mean, you got to know the truth. You can't always talk. Cover up a lot of things or a lot of issues, or you know, talk about some issues that didn't happen, like the name said, it's talk about the dark truth above the alcohol, the drugs, the party, drug takers for enhancement or the narcotics. You know, the what else go on that a lot of people don't talk about more, the mental health, depression, suicidal, the aches and pains wrestlers go through, the traveling, the 365, there's not too many shows, documentary series, get in depth or tell, that they're really take off the cover of that part of being fresh. So, I mean, it's very entertaining. I've been watching, from season 3, from the Monday Night Brawl, the Brian Pillman story, the Legion of Doom story, the Owen Hart story. It's very too much of, I haven't been for the past 2 years TV watching, and it's one of those things that, if I do want to watch TV, of course, wrestling, and it's just something that catch my eye and, catch my eye, and it's, I like this. I like that series, my opinion.
All right, Swink, what is your assessment of Dark Side of the Ring?
So I've been watching Dark Side of the Ring since season 1. We're in season 3 now. I enjoy the show. The Benoit episodes, the two-parter there, the Owen Hart episode, the Pillman two-part, those are some of the best episodes that they've done. And, they tackle the subjects in a way where it's not trying to be a bias. Unlike, you could compare it to the WWE's A&E biography that's currently running right now. And, I feel like sometimes those shows tend to sugarcoat some things. Like, for example, the Ultimate Warrior episode, I believe they tended to sugarcoat some things about the Warrior. And, the Warrior's wife, Dana Warrior, tried to say that the the Dark Side of the Ring episode on Ultimate Warrior was smut and filth. But I watched the episode and I didn't think it was anything. It was anything but smut and filth. I thought they tackled the subject, the Ultimate Warrior, in a respectful manner. I mean, they were honest about it too. I mean, they said that he sucked in the ring, and they weren't wrong. I mean, he wasn't a great wrestler at all.
Yeah.
I mean, they said that nobody could understand what the hell he was saying in his promos, and they didn't make sense, and that was the truth. I mean, come on.
Truth, yeah.
And also, they weren't, you know, really disrespectful to the guy. I don't think that they said anything to defame him in any way. Yes, they said that he cheated on his wife, his first wife, but, you know, that's just something that happens in wrestling. I mean, you know, that's why it's called Dark Side of the Ring. There's a dark side to pro wrestling. You know, it's something that people don't want to talk about, but it's there.
Right.
So, yeah. And there's no doubt that the man used steroids. I mean, come on, look at him. And, and the controversial things that he said, yes, they touched on them, but they didn't really go that far into them. The controversial things he would say after he retired, you know, when he became a conservative. I thought they handled it pretty well. The Owen Hart one wasn't a hit job of any kind. I thought it was a very well done show, and you got to hear from his family, so you got to hear their side of the story, where, you know, Martha Hart was always painted as this evil woman, whereas you see her in the show and she's anything but that. So,
right.
You know, that was a good one. The Pillman one was really heartbreaking to watch at times, with some of the things that he had to go through in his life with his family and all that. And so, yeah, the show kind of runs the gamut from being, you know, funny, like the New Jack episode, I thought I got a kick out of that one. To being, like, you know, depressing and heartbreaking at times. But, you know, that's kind of what life is. So it kind of runs the spectrum of emotions, the show does.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it touches on things that I was familiar with but didn't know all of the details, or things that you thought you knew but you didn't really know. So, you know, I think it's a really good show.
How about you, Kayvon?
Well, from my perspective, I would say it's very educational, if you catch my draft, only because people get to learn about, all right, we see this, now we get to see, like, the dark side, like the other side of the ring, like, all right, let's see what's really going on. So I believe it's educational for wrestling fans and for people that would like to become wrestlers. They get to experience or see what happens in the ring and outside of the ring.
Nice. I feel you on that, Kayvon.
The collision, I wanted to say real quick, the Collision in Korea episode was great because Too Cold Scorpio was like the star of that episode. And it was funny because he came this close to shanking Road Warrior Hawk. And the person that talked him down from it was. So he was that close to murdering Road Warrior Hawk in Korea.
Wow. That's crazy. That is crazy. Wow. All right. Two things, and we're getting up out of here. It's a little I'll start with you, Kayvon. I don't know if you listen to this podcast, but just give me a word or basically, yeah, just tell me how you feel about it. How do you feel about the Jim Cornette podcast? Like, honestly, how do you legitimately feel about if you listen to him? Kayvon, Swink, and then Dominic.
Okay, I'll look. Never heard that podcast before. Never listened to that podcast. So I don't know who you talking about.
All right, we go pass the rock over to Swink. I hope he's listened to it before.
Well, we're talking about Jim Cornette here, right? The guy with the tennis racket, guy who used to manage the Midnight Express, you know, back in the 80s, you know, in Yokozuna in the 90s, and he had his own promotion, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, which went belly up, you know, because he was a terrible promoter. And then, you know, he's in High Valley Wrestling where he did the promoting there with Vince McMahon. You know, that was developmental territory for WWF. And then he went to ROH and he sucked there, you know. And then he went to Impact and he sucked there too. And so, yeah, such a great booker. You know, I love to listen to his opinion on modern wrestling because, you know, he ain't stuck in the 1980s or anything like it's the territory days or anything. Yeah, I've heard it a few times, and I got to say, I like his stories from back in the day. Those are entertaining. But when he tries to talk modern wrestling, that's when I tune out, and I actually don't listen to it anymore because I don't care to hear the old man's opinion on modern wrestling. It's like that episode of The Simpsons, Old Man Yells at Cloud. That's Jim Cornette to a T. And I hate the people that snitch tag Jim Cornette on stuff on Twitter. They are the worst humans in the world.
Oh, that's funny. they want to get them riled up, man. They want to get them going. Dominic, what is your assessment on the Jim Cornette podcast?
I know we talk about it, and then we talk about on air. I listen to his show. At times I think Jim Cornette sounds like a bitter old man. But, yeah, I'm going to say at times he sounds like a bitter old man, but a lot of his stuff he do say or he gets his two cents on, his opinion, it's kind of the truth. And I see where he at times coming from with certain people he shoots on or he gives, you know, his expertise like Omega, the Young Bucks, WWE, AEW, whatever is going on in you know, pro wrestling. It sounds like he's just a bitter old man because he's not employed. But then on certain topics or when he's talking about certain, you know, matches or issues, you know, Jim Cornette to the point, it's like, you know, it's just like one of your elders. You're like, oh, you're just old. You're not relevant. Just because they're not saying it, he's not saying it or talking about it in words that we will use or terms that, you know, we can be like, oh, okay, we get right then and there. But it eventually hit me and I, to the point I'd be like, okay, I see what Cornette was talking about. As far as booking, as far as, you know, just like something we can't say from female wrestlers or female wrestlers fighting man wrestlers or how would you book your today's champion, et cetera, et cetera. You know, he's very entertaining, and I feel like he, at times to a degree, he be in his sevens to the point that I think he do want, even though he claims he don't, I think he do want one more shot of redemption at WWE. Right now, with, you know, quote-unquote, everybody knows the looking is bad. I think he's just WWE. Tomorrow, call on and say, let's make bygones give him a nice figure deal. I bet you he'll take back all the stuff he said on that podcast. Be right there in Hartford, Connecticut, to take a job for Vince right now. So it's very entertaining. The podcast is very entertaining. Like Nick said, I like some of the old stuff he talks about. I like how he used the comparison over the old days and today and just his and what and hearing, you know, his opinion is one of my favorite podcasts. My top 10, like.
that's the cool thing about this show. It's an opinionated show. We all have our different opinions on subjects and things of that nature. We welcome that here on Wrestle Talk of the D. We can agree and we can disagree. So that's the good thing about this program right here. I want to get to Dominic's shout-out of the night, and then I want to get some final thoughts from you all pertaining to the draft. And I want you guys to take some time to promote anything that you got going on in your personal lives. And then we're going to get out of here. All right. Dominic, go for it.
All right. This week's shout-outs go to the number one, the top one shout-out goes to not other than the new AEW female champion, Dr. Britt Baker. As you said, when you start coming right now, she is, I mean, she's the face right now for the female division in AEW. But yeah, she's not the best, but she just has a gimmick right now that is so over, so musty watch right now. A lot of those other females, reason why, I mean, she's one of those I try to watch, you know, the division. They're talented, but they just don't have the character and charisma like that. So, shout out to her. Anybody else want to give a shout out to? Oh, give a shout out to Nicole Bay for adding himself into to number one contingency for In Your House Takeover to make instead of excuse me, I can't even talk today. Now for the Fatal Five Way match. So and it's good to see him come back. He's been gone 2 months, so give a shout out to Adam Cole. And I think one more shout out I would like to give. Shout out to Cedric Alexander for once again, 3 weeks in a row beating Michelle Benjamin, for finally find his niche and being more vocal, even though I wish he can shut the front door, but. Give a shout out to Cedric Alexander for finally trying to prove himself that he's in his prime. And that's it with the shout out.
All right. Thank you, Dominic. All right. It's late and time to go to bed. We went deep into the night tonight. I want to take this time out to do the final thoughts. You guys remember Jerry Springer when he did his final thoughts. You talk about your draft picks, or you can talk about whatever you want in these final thoughts, and then we're going to go home for the night. Kayvon, let's start with you, and we're going to work all the way our stuff all the way down to Swink to end the show. All right, Kayvon, what are your final thoughts for tonight?
Well, my final thoughts for tonight. Although, you know, I'm with you right now. Although my draft, you know, isn't the best for round two. You know, it's one more round to go, and of course, I'm gonna knock this out the park. But for now, Martez, you are in the lead right now. Your brand is beating mine. But by next week, we should be back on top.
Ooh, I'm shocked you said that. Well, thank you. All right, Dominic.
I think I did really good. I added some pieces. Like I said, I'm just trying to get people on my brand. I'm about, you know, develop and establish some household names in every division. And I'm confident in my pick. I like who I started off my on. Like I said, Kyle O'Reilly, all those he's right on the future. And I truly predict I would like to see him be a quadruple champion. So that means I want him to challenge for the North American title and possibly challenge for the Cruiser title before it's all said and done. So I'm happy with my pick.
Sweet, sweet. All right, Mr. Swink, what you got, sir?
All right, so first off, I want to say that I was surprised with the Macho Ghost popping in there. That was entertaining. I appreciate that. And I was satisfied with my draft. I got the two things that I wanted, Io Shirai and The Way. So I accomplished that. So I was happy with that. You know, and other than that, you know, that's about all I got. I mean, it was fun to be on here talking to you guys. It's been a while since I've done this whole podcast thing, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought it was a good opportunity to come on here, do a different show than what I'm used to doing, and talk with some different – and so, yeah, that's what I got.
All right. Well, whether you like the show or not, Sweet, we appreciate you seriously coming on this show and sort of putting us over by coming on this show. We appreciate it. Not just me, but we all appreciate you coming on, man. And it means a lot. Gorilla Position comes back next week. It's also cool to be working with you guys again. Let's see what the future holds for the Gorilla Position. It's gonna be a good one. Starting next Thursday.
Oh
again.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sonny.
Oh yeah. The other thing. I almost forgot this. This Saturday, June the 5th.
Oh yeah.
Warrior Wrestling, Chicago Heights, Illinois. I will be there. Turtle will be there. The Macho Ghost will be there. And so will Martez.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's going down this Saturday for sure.
And if you can't make it out there, you can watch it on Fight TV. It's available on there.
Can you do the whole F-I-T-E, please?
Oh, yes. Like JR would say, that's F-I-T-E. TV, Fight TV.
Splendid. All right, everybody. I want to thank everybody for joining this show. Appreciate you, Dominic, as always. Appreciate you, man. We've been going strong for 3 to 4 years, I believe. So thank you for always being on the show. Kayvon, what more can I say about you, man? You've been a breath of fresh air. You've been a nice injection into this show. We're trying to do the best we can here at Wrestle Talking D and Swink. Once again, appreciate you for coming over and being a part of this show and being a part of this draw, being a part of this draft, excuse me. Hopefully you can come back on next week at as we close out the third round of this WWE 4-branded mock draft. But this is Wrestle Talking D. Thank you for listening. Tune in to us next Tuesday, 10:15 Eastern Time, 9:15 Central. We're going to close out with a little bit of Hard Times from Dusty Rhodes. Have a good night, everybody.
He put hard times on Dusty Rhodes and his family. You don't know what hard times are, Daddy. Hard times are when the textile workers around this country are out of work and got 4 or 5 kids and can't pay their wages, can't buy their food. Hard times are when the auto workers are out of work and they tell them go home. And hard times are when a man has worked at a job 30 years. They give him a watch, kick him in the butt, and say, hey, a computer took your place, Daddy. That's hard times.